So today the church celebrates the Feast of Corpus Christi, the most precious body and blood of our Lord. And it's one of the ancient feasts of the church that is celebrated annually. It goes back to the early, early ancient days. It's the celebration of the Eucharist itself. And I'm sure most of you know Eucharist means thanksgiving. The word Eucharist, Eucharista, means thanksgiving. And if you heard in our responsorial psalm, King David wrote in Psalm 116, you know, 2,500 or more years ago, "How can I repay the Lord for his goodness to me? How can I offer thanksgiving? I will raise the chalice, the cup of salvation." And the church picks that reading for today because we are celebrating this thanksgiving. We lift the cup of thanksgiving in the Eucharist itself. Now, I think most Catholics are also aware that, you know, one of the precepts of the church is to attend Mass on every Sunday, every holy day of obligation, going back to the command of the Old Testament, you know, the Ten Commandments, shall keep holy the Sabbath day, the Lord's Day. Not just a suggestion, but a direct command to keep holy the Lord's Day. And what was given to us in the Old Testament in the worship of the Lord's Day, the worship of the Sabbath, the sacrificing of the lambs, all of that from the Old Testament has been brought into the New Testament, not washed away and not forgotten, but fulfilled in Jesus, fulfilled in the Eucharist, fulfilled in the gospel that we read today when Jesus took them to the upper room, celebrated the Passover, and he said, "Now is the new covenant in my blood." So the lamb, I don't know the last time you saw a Catholic church like slaughter a sheep and burn it up on an altar. There's a reason why we don't do that. Praise the Lord, right? But that doesn't mean that we don't offer sacrifice. We do. We offer. Don't make no mistake. There is a sacrifice that is offered. There is a lamb that is slain. But it was slain 2,000 years ago. And it's re-echoed and reverberated and re-presented on this altar. And just like in the original Passover, if you wanted to participate in the Passover lamb, how would you participate? By eating the flesh of the lamb. Every member of the household had to eat, consume, chew, munch, gnaw, masticate. All of those words, that's what Jesus talked about in John chapter 6. "Unless you eat my flesh, chew my flesh, you have no life within you." All of that brought together in this sacrament. And like I said, I think most of us know that the church has that precept. If you want to consider yourself a practicing Catholic, like one of the bare-bone minimums, the standard, the minimum for that is attending Mass every Sunday. Now, you don't necessarily have to receive communion every Sunday, but you do have to attend Mass every Sunday, every holy day of obligation. And there's kind of three reasons for this. One is for us, and if we always ask, you know, what's in it for me? But then there's two other reasons over and above and beyond. And maybe the most important is the fact that it is due honor. It's a matter of justice that we give our worship to the Lord. We worship him. We praise him. We recognize he is God and we are not. And so when we come to Mass, that's exactly what we're doing. We're offering praise and worship to the Lord. But then not just what we offer to God, but also what happens in the body of Christ. So Corpus Christi is that we celebrate the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Every single person sitting in these pews is a cell in the living organism of the body of Christ. Just like your body is made up of billions or trillions of individual cells that all come together and make the whole, so you are a cell in the body of Christ. And when you come to Mass and when you worship at Mass, you help and raise the prayer and the worship of the people around you simply by your presence, and vice versa. It's a collective community. It's the horizontal dimension of the church. But then there's the third reason. What you receive in communion, what you receive in the Eucharist, that there is grace that is offered to your soul. So when people confess, like, okay, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I've not made it to Mass a few Sundays. I'll ask a follow-up sometimes, like, okay, well, was there a reason for that? Was there bad weather? Were you sick? Were the circumstances such that you couldn't get a ride or, you know, whatever it was? And if that's the case, nobody's obliged to go to Mass if it's impossible for you. If there's you know, legitimate reasons why you can't go. But if it's one of those, well, you know, and I just didn't feel like it. I just wanted to sleep in. It was just a little tired that day. Or, you know, it was kind of inconvenient. I was traveling, and I just didn't want to have to go through the hassle of finding a time to go to Mass out of town, and so I just decided to skip it. Okay. Well, if that's the circumstance, here's what I tell people. And I'll tell you all this, too. You all, from now on, have my personal blanket permission to miss Mass any Sunday for any reason whatsoever. You're tired? Skip Mass. You don't feel like it? Skip Mass. You're out of town? It's a hassle? Just skip Mass. But there's a catch. There is a caveat. If you do that, you can't eat or drink anything for the next week. All right? If you don't drink for 3 days, you will die. And when we recognize that, and when we skip a meal, when we skip one meal, our bodies will remind us, hey, we skipped a meal. We learn pretty quickly, hey, our bodies remind us, we're thirsty, we're hungry, we need food to survive. And yet, the same thing happens to our souls when we are deprived of the grace of this sacrament. But unfortunately, it's not as pronounced. Like if you're more in tune maybe to your spiritual life and you find yourself skipping Mass, you find yourself separated from God's grace, you'll notice, I'm off, something's not right. But a lot of times, we don't even have the wherewithal to check in with our own hearts, and we don't notice when something's off like that. We'll notice when we skip a meal or when we don't eat or don't drink for a few days. We'll pick that up pretty quickly. But the same thing happens to our souls. What gas is to a car, the Eucharist is to our souls. We run out of gas pretty quickly without the Lord. He is the one who sustains us. And so that's why what's in it for me is this grace of the sacrament. When we receive the Eucharist in the state of grace, when our soul is disposed to receive that, it transforms us. And the last piece I'm going to share with you is something that I wish I had a time machine and I could go back and I could have told little Curtis when I was in second grade or high school or whatever. I never heard this until I was in seminary, until I was in major seminary, for that matter. I was sitting in a class with Dr. Larry Feingold, and he's a living saint. I tell you what, if you die and you make it to heaven, you will meet Larry Feingold when he dies one day. He's just an amazingly holy man. But in that class, sitting in a systematic theology class, and just learning about the nature of the grace of the Eucharist, and just coming to understand that not everybody receives the same amount of grace from communion. Now, maybe that's obvious to you, but I didn't realize that. Nobody had ever explained that to me. But when the Blessed Mother received communion before her Assumption, when John the Apostle said Mass for her and gave her communion, she received more grace than I do when I receive communion. When Mother Teresa of Calcutta or St. Francis of Assisi, when they received communion, they took away more grace than I do. Why is that the case? It's the same amount that's offered to everybody. It's an infinite supply. You will never exhaust what is offered to us in communion. But what determines what we walk away with is us. Think about it this way. If we were all just pack into a couple of buses and head down to the coast, to the Gulf of Mexico, and we were to all, you know, we're not going to exhaust the ocean, right? However much water we take away with depends on what you bring. If you bring a cup, a bucket, a pitcher, a jug, a thimble, whatever it is, that's what you're walking away with. That's what you're taking away from the ocean. You're not going to exhaust the ocean, but what you walk away with depends on you, what you bring. It is the same with the Eucharist. And this is the key. I wish more priests taught this. I wish more Catholics understood this, that you can receive more or less grace from the Eucharist depending on your own interior disposition. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2111, one of my favorite paragraphs in all the Catechism. The Catechism says, it is superstitious to believe that receiving the sacraments or even prayer itself works merely by the external performance apart from an interior disposition that they demand. In other words, the Catechism, the official teaching document of the Church, says that receiving communion can be superstitious. In the same category of rubbing a rabbit's foot or tossing a quarter into a wishing well. Superstitious. If you think simply by receiving communion, receiving the host, without any kind of interior disposition, you're not receiving the grace that is being offered, or maybe just a little portion. When I understood that, the first time somebody actually taught me that, it completely changed the way I approached the sacrament. And from then on, from that point on, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, communion is different for me. And all of a sudden, I understand that when I approach the sacrament, the difference between the cup or the bucket or the jug or the pitcher, how do you increase that? Desire. You have to want it. Remember when Jesus said, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened? He meant that. Those are all verbs. Those are actions that we have to do, to ask, to seek, to knock. And it applies to the Eucharist as well. If you go and you receive communion and you're just spacing out, or you're thinking about whatever your plans are for this afternoon or what you're going to cook for dinner or whatever, and that's typical. It's what we do normally. That's all well and good. But again, you got a little thimble. But if you approach the sacrament and you open your heart and you say, Lord, I don't even know what this is supposed to look like, but I want to receive whatever you have in store for me, Lord. To understand that there is something more than what you currently are receiving. And you don't even have to add anything to what you're doing. It's not like you have to go back and kneel on the first pew and broken glass, right? It's not like you have to go do something over and above in addition, but simply the interior disposition. When you approach communion with that, it changes how you receive the sacrament. And it changes the grace that you receive from the sacrament. So on this feast of Corpus Christi, I am challenging you, I'm offering to you, I'm inviting you. Don't just receive communion like you normally have and just kind of skip along to the next thing. Recognize the reality of what's taking place, that Jesus is 2 inches away from your heart, and that is the closest that he will be to you on this side of heaven, on this side of the grave. That is the closest you will be to the Lord. Today, and maybe moving forward in this sacrament, ask and seek and knock.